Welcome to the Empowered Modern Witches Show. Join us to learn simple, accessible ways that the seasons, moon phases, and astrology can help you finally create a spiritual self-care practice you can be consistent with. I'm your host, Tanae Stewart, the Witch of Lupin Hollow. I'm a practicing witch, a certified astrologer, and a published author, and I'm on a mission to help modern witches like you nourish your mind, body, and intuition so you can be your most magical self. All day, every day. Hello and welcome back. I'm Tanae Stewart, the Witch of Lupin Hollow, and I'm so excited for today's episode. Today we are diving in to your ultimate guide to the winter solstice. So I know I say this in every episode, but this is one of my favorite times of the year. This is truly one of my favorite seasons. When I was growing up, my family really got into decorating our house for the holidays. And we have a lot of holiday traditions, many of which go back generations in my family. And so this is just a really special and magical time of year for me. And I was really delighted to learn when I first became a witch and, you know, embraced my inner paganism. I was really delighted to learn that the holidays, the winter holidays, are very, very pagan in origin. And there are winter holidays around the winter solstice, pretty much all over the world, from all different cultures. This is a really, really sacred time of year in lots of different cultures, in lots of different faiths. And paganism is no different. So of course, the winter holiday that we tend to be most familiar with is Christmas. And Christmas occurs on December 25th, usually a couple of days after the winter solstice itself. But Christmas is by no means the only, and definitely not the first winter holiday that occurs right around this time of year, right? We have everything from Yule to Hanukkah to Kwanzaa to even the Roman Saturnalia. And this is just really a time of year that we as a society, not just our society, but societies throughout history, have found the time to gather together, right? Have marked this sacred occasion. So what's so special about the winter solstice, right? Why do cultures literally all over the world and throughout time and space, why do we find this time of year to be so compelling? Well, the winter solstice itself, which occurs typically around December 20th to 22nd, the winter solstice is the shortest day or longest night of the year. This is when the sun is at the lowest point of its power, what we call the nadir of its power. And so the sun is at the lowest point in the sky. We have the least amount of sunlight or daylight hours. And depending on where you are in the world, this can be more or less dramatic. You know, where I am in California, you know, the shortest day we have, I don't know, maybe 8 hours of sunlight, maybe a little bit more, maybe 10 hours. And in some places, you know, they barely have an hour of sunlight if you're very, very far north or very far south. I was in Scotland, where a lot of my ancestry is from. I was in Scotland the first week of January a number of years ago, so right after the winter solstice, and I was very surprised by how dark it was. You know, the sun was coming up at like 8 a.m., and it was going down by like 4 p.m., and as a Californian, that was definitely a very different experience than what I was accustomed to. And so this long, long periods of darkness that we experience to varying degrees of dramaticness at different parts of the world, but these long periods of darkness are really an opportunity, an invitation from the earth, from the sun, from the universe, for us to go within, right? To really take the time for rest and relaxation and retreat, right? It's an opportunity for hibernation, but also to celebrate, to gather, right? As humans, we don't tend to love the dark, right? Those long, long cold winter nights, especially for our ancestors, would have been very frightening, right? This would have been a scary time of the year. And I think it's no coincidence that we also tend to tell ghost stories at this time of year. You know, this is a time of year when we're not just You know, bringing light to the darkness, although that is a really important part of the winter solstice celebrations, but we're also honoring the darkness itself, right? And so for our ancestors especially, this would have been a scary time of year. And so the idea of gathering together, you know, bringing energetic light to the darkness through food and song and exchanging gifts, right? Literally lighting up the darkness with candles and bonfires and in more modern times, twinkle lights, right? These are not just frivolous, you know, fanciful things, although they get to be magical, but they're not just that, right? They are also really this honoring of the dark, of how much power the dark can have over us as humans. And so the fact that this is this longest night of the year is really significant to so many different cultures, right? And we know how significant the winter solstice was to so many different peoples because of the monuments all over the world that align with the sun. And we tend to talk about these monuments in relation to the summer solstice, right? Where it's the sun at the peak of its power. And in the northern hemisphere, the summer solstice is in June. In the southern hemisphere, they're reversed, right? The summer solstice is in December and the winter solstice in June. But there are monuments all over the world that don't just align with the sun at the peak of its power, right? It's not just about the sun at its zenith. It's also about the sun at its lowest point. And so there are monuments that align with the sun on both days, like Stonehenge, or specifically with the winter solstice, such as Newgrange in Ireland. And there are monuments in South America, in Africa, all over the world that really are a testament to how important and how powerful this day was to our ancestors and continues to be for us now. Now, our modern pagan celebrations of the winter solstice are most closely aligned with the Norse and Germanic celebrations of Yule. And the word Yule has been used to describe this time of year. It's even used by many people who celebrate Christmas as well, right? It's like Yuletide. And that word has been used for centuries. So the word Yule and the festival of Yule has become really tangled up with the festival of Christmas, so much so that the festival of Christmas is pretty much pagan itself, right? There's really not a lot of distinction between them in our modern celebrations. However, what's interesting is that's not really because they became tangled together. It's more because Christmas was always really pagan. The actual celebration of Jesus's birth in Christianity, Jesus was probably born in the spring or the late winter. And so, you know, based on what we know about the seasons at that time and what we know about the stars at that time. And so the festival of Christmas occurring in December was really a way for the church, for the monks, to recruit people, right? That this is one of their most sacred celebrations for many, many European pagans in early Christian times. And so this was not a festival they were going to be willing to part with. Now, this has happened with lots of different festivals, such as the spring equinox and Easter, right? There's lots of correlations between Christian festivals and pagan festivals. But Christmas is perhaps the most glaringly obvious one because the date really has nothing to do with what's actually being celebrated. And to be honest with you, I think that's okay. Like, I don't get kind of up in arms if people don't realize that Christmas has pagan roots. Christmas has been celebrated in December for, you know, centuries and centuries and centuries, you know, over 1,000 years, going on 2,000 years. So I think the fact that it has those really deep roots at this time of the year is not a problem. But I do think that it is ideal to have an awareness of where our festivals come from, right? And so a lot of times newer witches or newer pagans they'll come to me and they'll be like, you know, I love Christmas and I really want to celebrate this time of year and I want to celebrate the solstice instead, but I just can't seem to find any distinction, right? Like all of my Christmas traditions that I'm wanting to replace with solstice traditions, it seems like they're all just the same thing. And the truth is, I really kind of believe that they are. You know, the Christmas tree, you know, hanging lights, hanging garlands, you know, cooking with spices, like all of these things have their roots in pagan traditions. And yes, it was co-opted by the Christian church. And yes, we can, you know, take a certain degree of offense to that. But I just don't think that it's really the most productive or impactful use of our energy, right? Instead, I think let's just honor the fact that every culture all over the world has found this to be a sacred time of year. And, you know, if a lot of our celebrations that we find in modern day Christianity and in secular celebrations of Christmas, if they actually come from Norse and Germanic pagan traditions, well, hey, at least, you know, at least we know we're honoring our ancestors as well, right? So I don't think that, you know, if this is something you've grappled with, of, you know, you're wanting to leave behind Christian traditions and have new pagan traditions, but you just feel like there's not really a lot of separation, I would just, you know, try to release that struggle within you, right? It doesn't need to be a struggle. It's really just choosing the traditions and celebrations that feel like they honor your truth, right? Not about necessarily their origins, especially in this case. Now, of course, as with all of the festivals in the Wheel of the Year, the winter solstice also has some astrological significance. So the solstices and equinoxes always occur when the sun reaches 0 degrees of one of the cardinal signs. So in the Northern Hemisphere, we have the winter solstice when the sun reaches 0 degrees of Capricorn. Now, this is really interesting because the Roman celebration that I mentioned earlier, the Roman celebration of the winter holidays, of the winter solstice, was Saturnalia, the festival in honor of the god Saturn. And of course, Saturn is the ruler of Capricorn. And so we have these really strong Saturn Capricornian themes at this time of year. Now, this is the very beginning of Capricorn season. So it's interesting because the winter solstice is strongly associated with this Saturn energy, and yet most of our celebrations of it, since in modern times we tend to celebrate the holidays from late November all the way through December, most of our celebration of the holiday season occurs during Sagittarius season. So Sagittarius season is the mutable sign that represents the transition from fall into winter. And so most of our celebrating happens during the joyful, abundant, fiery sign of Sagittarius. Then on the winter solstice itself, usually around December 21st, or June 21st in the Southern Hemisphere, on the winter solstice itself, the sun moves from Sagittarius into Capricorn, and we come into this more grounded, earthy energy. And so I don't think we have to choose, right? Sometimes we think like, okay, the energy of winter is all about, you know, rest and retreat and getting grounded, but it's this crazy busy time of year, right? And so if you are also having that struggle, right, you're feeling pulled between your spiritual practice and, you know, the realities of the holiday season in the 21st century, again, we don't have to choose. We really do kind of get to have it all. We get to have the busy, joyful celebrations of the holidays earlier in December. And then, you know, we have our, that kind of week of actual holiday celebrations with our families, whatever holidays you might be celebrating. And then after the winter solstice, as we move into the new year, we get to really have that earthy, grounded, rooted experience as well, where now we're really in the heart of winter. And we're really experiencing that inward focus, right? Where that week between Christmas and New Year's, right? Where everything feels like it's, you're walking in a daze and everything is slow and quiet and weird. And we're in that transitionary week, right? That I think is really the energy of the winter solstice coming through, inviting us to, you know, set aside our work, to set aside maybe some of the parties, to set aside some of the festivities and really focus on ourselves and reflect on the year that is past and the year that is coming, right? That's the energy of Saturn and of Capricorn, reflecting on the passage of time, on the turning of the wheel, and taking the opportunity to really get deeply grounded in who we are, where we're going and where we've been. Now, of course, during Capricorn season, we also always have the new moon in Capricorn and the full moon in Cancer. So the new moon is when the sun and moon are exactly aligned in Capricorn. This really reinforces the energy of the winter solstice itself. And then we have the full moon in Cancer when the sun is in Capricorn and the moon is in Cancer. And these always occur in late December or early January. And the full moon in Cancer is really inviting us to make sure that we are nourishing and nurturing ourselves during this period of both busyness and deep inner reflection, right? The themes of Capricorn season and of the new moon in Capricorn and full moon in Cancer, these are really about our roots, right? It's about our traditions, our legacy, the legacy of our own ancestors, the legacy that we are passing on to our future descendants when we become ancestors. Capricorn is the sign of the crone, right? It's all about structure, about sustainable action, taking the actions, putting in the hard work, doing the things that are needed, and also really valuing rest, valuing the ability to step back, to step out, to reflect. Cancer, when we have the full moon in Cancer, the opposite sign of Capricorn, Cancer is the sign of the mother, right? This energy, especially in the full moon, because the moon is at home in Cancer, so this is one of the most really lunar energy moon phases of the entire year. This energy is all about nourishment and self-care and rest and really tuning into what we need in order to feel safe and grounded and held and supported. And these two really support one another, right? We really can't have Cancer without Capricorn or Capricorn without Cancer. And so throughout this entire season, we are really getting grounded in the traditions and structures that will support us moving into the new year and throughout the winter. So with all of this history and cosmic energy in mind, how do we actually celebrate the winter solstice? How do we celebrate Yule? Well, as I was saying, a lot of your Christmas traditions and holiday festivities really are in and of themselves celebrations of the winter solstice. But how? Okay, so the practice of bringing a tree inside and decorating it or hanging garlands of evergreen, this is number one, obviously, it's about bringing nature inside at a time when there's not a lot of nature to be had. But I think it's really significant that we specifically turn to the evergreens at this time of year because the evergreens honor both Capricorn energy and solar energy, both of which are so important and essential to the winter solstice. So evergreens honor Capricorn energy through their steadfastness and their roots, right? Tall pine trees or spruce or fir trees or redwood trees like I have in my backyard, right? They have deep, deep roots. They are very solid and unchanging, right? They're very connected to this grounded earth energy of Capricorn. Evergreens are also really strongly associated with the sun because they are tall and they reach up towards the sun, but they also retain their green leaves even when the rest of the earth lies dormant, right? This is when we notice evergreens the most because they're the only things that are still green, right? And so the winter solstice is a really beautiful time to work with evergreen and tree energy in your practice, whether it's by decorating a tree, by bringing garlands into your home, even if it's just diffusing evergreen oils in your diffuser. Really working with evergreen energy this time of year invites you to really, you know, dig deep and connect to your roots, but also to rise up strong and vibrant, right? This is the energy of the sun in Capricorn. So we can also bring nature inside in a number of other ways. So another plant that is in season in the winter, somewhat unusually, since most things bloom and fruit in the spring, summer, and into the fall, another that is in season is citrus. So we often see lemons and oranges and grapefruits in seasonal dishes this time of year. You can also decorate with them. They are a really beautiful decoration. So even if it's just like big bowls of oranges on the table, or you can make orange slice garlands where you slice oranges and dry them, dehydrate them, put them on strings, hang them up in your house. They smell amazing and they look really, really pretty as well. You can also make citrus pomanders where you poke small holes in an orange and then press whole cloves into the holes. These are really great for, you know, their beautiful scent. They're also great for like keeping away bugs and things like that. So pomanders are a great option as well. So really anything you can do to bring nature inside and to connect with nature in those ways during this time of year when we don't tend to think about connecting with nature, right? Because there's not a lot of nature to be had, it would seem. Another option for that would be things like pine cones, you know, anything you can collect outside. Of course, the core theme of the winter solstice is about bringing light to the darkness. So we can do this both energetically and physically. So energetically, really all of the ways that we celebrate the winter holidays are about bringing metaphorical or energetic light to the darkness of society, right? We are in a particularly generous mood this time of year. We exchange gifts. We make delicious food and break bread with our families. We sing songs, right? Or we listen to particular music that we don't listen to the rest of the year. You know, there tends to be lots of bells and choruses and things like that. And this is not just, you know, kind of hodgepodge winter holiday celebrations. All of these really have this core theme of bringing light to the energetic darkness, lighting up the darkness of the world at a time when it's particularly obvious, right? So whether that is for you giving gifts to your family, making donations to an organization you care about, cooking food for your loved ones, cooking food for those in need, right? Singing songs, listening to music, like these are all really beautiful, simple, essential ways to celebrate the holiday. Of course, we can also bring literal light to the darkness. So this is a beautiful time of year to light candles, to have a fire in the fireplace, or to have a bonfire if you have a safe place to do so. And definitely do not discount hanging up lights. My dad is an electrician, and when I was growing up, our house was decked out for the holidays. And I still do quite a bit of decorating myself. As I said, it's a really special time of year to me. And that act of, you know, plugging in strings, wrapping them around the tree, you know, hanging lights on your house, like it's not frivolous. And I think this is where we've really gotten away from a true understanding of the winter holidays, is we think, oh, Christmas, it's so commercial. And yeah, there are some problematic things this time of year, absolutely. But ultimately, you know, really decorating our houses in ways that make us feel like it's really beautiful, ways that light us up, exchanging gifts, buying things, or making things for people that we care about, like, I really don't think there can be anything dark about that, right? Yes, we need to do some decolonizing and some decapitalizing of our celebrations. That is absolutely true. But I don't think we need to also feel guilty about celebrating and being with the people we love and giving and receiving at this time of year. This is really an essential end of the year celebration that our ancestors have been doing for thousands of years in one capacity or another. So light up the darkness, sing all the songs, bake all the cookies, hang lights wherever you feel they are needed, metaphorically or literally, and happy, happy winter solstice. As always, thanks for listening to the Empowered Modern Witches Show. I'm Tanae Stewart, the Witch of Lupin Hollow, and it's my pleasure to be your host. If you loved this episode, be sure to leave a 5-star rating and review and subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode. Much love from Lupin Hollow.